Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garden of Enlightenment with Lulu Wildeb, with my very fabulous co-host, Katie Frank and Gray Eyes. Gray Eyes is my right hand. I'm happy that he got over eating his meal soon so he wouldn't leave us women alone or by ourselves, because that can cause a lot of trouble. And I want to put a shout out for Frank, Poetic Picasso. He is one of our co-hosts. And he did have to go to the hospital, and he is out, but he's in recovery, so I want to wish him the best. And I want to let you know a little bit about us. The Late Night Poets is one of the many groups on allpoetry.com, which is free to join. And also, these radio shows are supported by poetry books. All these poets from all around the world have donated their poetry for these books, and you can find us on Amazon for Late Night Poets Anthology. So please go and check us out and join us. And let me go ahead and start picking up the callers. We'll be doing front page pick, open poetry, and contest poetry for the next. So whatever does not get read today will definitely be read in the next following Monday. So please join us, because we love poetry. And we love to have people read and comment. So let me pick up my first caller, which I already know. Katie!
Oh, hello, that's me. Hi, babe.
Hi, sweetie, how are you doing today?
Oh, wonderful, thank you. Another Scottish day, cold and dreary.
Oh, well, you know, I don't mind dreary. It's just the cold.
Yeah, me too. I'm the same. Not like
oh, my
cold.
Gosh.
No.
Yeah, I don't like it really cold, and I don't like it really hot. So,
yeah, temperate. Yes.
And welcome, welcome. This is she, like she said, she is from Scotland, and we just love her so much. And we also have another person who is from British Columbia. It's our very own Gray Eyes. Hey, Gray.
Hi, Gray.
Hi, Lee. Hi, Weaver.
Hi, my dear.
How's everybody doing today? Happy to have
you.
Ooh. And I see that we have Amy on listening on board, and we have Pee Wee. I don't know if he's calling in, and we have Naomi. I'm not knowing if she's calling in either. But either way, we love to have you. Whether you see, this is one of the things about the group. You can join the group and you can go in and read the poetry along with us and also comment. We love our commenters. And I also want to say, welcome Naomi. Hey, Naomi. I don't know if she's calling, but I'm going to say hello, love. Okay. So, Weaver, we've got tons of poetry. And why don't you go ahead and put them in? Our first poem for tonight.
I certainly will. And I've unmuted myself. right, we have, I'm just so chuffed. Better than you. Better you than me. I'm sorry, I can't even read tonight. Better you than me by Victoria. And that has a SoundCloud, I think.
Yes, it does. And our right-hand man, are you going to play it for us?
I certainly am. Here we go.
Sky. The way your smile
goodness, that was fabulous. That was by our own Victoria. I want to thank her. What a beautiful voice and melody and such a painful song. Let's get some comments. What did you think about this beautiful song and lyrics, Katie?
What, that was absolutely beautiful. Oh, wow, I'm so glad. I'm so lucky to have heard that. That is beautiful. And I just thought the words were lovely too. Very sad, as you say, but lovely anyway. But it's, you get lines like, I miss the moments, the warmth of your skin, to feel you knew me from the outside and in, the way we dreamed of what the future would hold, until you tossed me back out into the cold. Oh, I don't like that bit. That's so sad. Oh, Victoria, I have to say that was a triumph, and it was that. I want to hear more of your music, because that was wonderful. Thank you so much.
I agree. Fantastic comment. And Gray Eyes, what did you think?
Yeah, she did an amazing job singing that song. You know, it's a beautifully written song about the tragedy when the person that we love, it turns out to be a false prophet and leading us down a trail of destruction. So just a beautifully expressed song.
I agree. And we have a new caller, Kevin, caller 763. Who are we speaking with?
This is Duke of St. Paul, Dexter Bailey.
Where you been, boy? I've been missing you. Where you been, Dex?
I've been missing you, too. I have. I've been just a little AWOL. I'm glad that I could be here.
It happens. What did you think of Victoria's song? Welcome to
this,
the show.
This one blew me away because I wasn't expecting this out of Victoria. You know, and I view Victoria as a poetess like myself, because I feel like her poetry is viewed as, for me, when I feel like my poetry is viewed at a certain face value, it is what it is. But then also once you hear it and it's put into song and things like this, it's like, man, that's fantastic. And I think that that's where Victoria is. And I don't mean that as a dissonant in any way. I view Victoria much like myself. She has a fantastic ear for poetry, and she put it to life on this one. So I thought that this was amazing.
Yeah, I agree, Dexter. Thank you. You know, for me, this was very sentimental and very melancholy. Because you can fall so hard for a deceiver, somebody that tells you who they are and what they really are, you know, because she brings out here, you know, I'm a type of woman that I like when I'm in love with somebody, you're mine. Nobody can touch you or lick you. You can't go there. It's all mine. Okay?
Yep.
The whole package is all mine. And, you know, right here where she says that the games you played, they all came to light, the other women that had filled up your life. You know, there's nothing worse than betrayal. Somebody making you believe one thing and you're so deeply in love with them and you fall in love with them. But, you know, there's a word that they're called, but I can't think of it right now. Very deceptive and, you know, their emotions towards you. Yeah, they may have some emotions towards you, but, you know, they just can't stop spreading themselves all over the surface of the earth, and that's just something. You know, some of us want that type of lifestyle. Some of us don't, and I'm one of those that don't. And for me, this is very painful to find out that the person that you love the most and, you know, saw who you were deeply inside, you crushed that person from the inside out. And, you know, this was very painful, and I loved it. Thank you. Okay, we're back to you, Katie.
Okay, my Danny, here we have Time's Face by, I presume that's Amy, A-R-M-A-R Mundell. Now, I think I'll read this one, okay? I'll just get this one up and give it a read. Time's Face. A long, clean nose that's shapely curved, a billion pores, but not one nerve. Eyes unfocused, buried deep, all but surface, lies asleep. Lonely giant, angled round, edges straight, but never found. Right side hiding, emperor shade, verdant freckles, lit by fade. Unveiled slope of left to right, open to the rays of light. Human feet climb sherbet cheek, footfall causing not a creep. Sherbet skin kicked in their wake, coating them with what they'll take. Making tracks worn into lanes like tear-track wrinkles on her plains. Hourglass spills substance and shape as desert winds caress her nape. End poem.
Oh, my God. You did such a fantastic job in reading that poem by Amy. I had to go look at the image that she was talking about. I love so many stanzas in here. You know, the sand dunes, you know, we have so many sand dunes. We have white sands, the desert sands, the red sands here. And I love this, you know, where she was talking about human feet, Klein Sherbert cheek. I thought that was fabulous. Footfalls causing not a creep because you can't hear the footsteps in the sand. And I thought this was just wonderfully penned. If that sherbet skin, oh my God, that was amazing. What did you think about this poem, Katie? Well, you know, you read it, but it's your turn to comment. What did you think about the poem, Katie?
Sorry, I muted myself again. Yes, absolutely. I know, I just said something and then my finger went weird and it just pressed the button again. Oh, I've got no control over my lips. I thought this
That's
was
okay.
You know, I knew that first stanza completely got me. I thought, this, I'm going to enjoy this. A long, clean nose that's shapely curved, a billion pored, but not one nerve. Brilliant. So good. So good. I liked that a lot. And obviously, to me, it's that lovely last stanza. Hourglass spills substance and shape as desert winds caress her nape. And then you get in the air and you get the colors that were used. Orange sherbet and emperor. So one imagines that this was part of the prompt, which had to use these words. But I thought it was beautiful. Really lovely.
I agree.
And, yeah, thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Katie. How about you, Gray?
You did a wonderful job reading it, Kate. And, you know, I found the poem very engaging. You know, it had an excellent rhythm and flow to it. I liked the imagery that it provided, especially that last stanza, hourglass spill, substance and shape, as desert winds caress her nape. I mean, that's just beautiful. Excellent, right?
Thank you, Gray. And how about you, Dexter? What did you think?
I absolutely love this piece. You know, it was romantic in a way, but...
it is.
You know, it is, I don't know, it's just so fascinating. The hourglass spill substance and shape as desert winds caress her name. There's something so longing about it. It's just incredibly hard to really define, but I thought it was very amazing.
Made me think about that song about the being in the desert with a horse with no name. It's just something that you just get lost out there, especially if you like to go climb the sands and everything. Yeah, I agree, Dexter. That was a good point about being romantic. I agree, because it there is a romanticism to that beauty and the starkness of those, you know, the white sands or the red sands that you climb, and it's just, you know, it's amazing. All right, so we are ready for our next poem. Yeah, what were you going to say?
I said absolutely. There's something romantic about the whole thing.
It is, especially if you're out there, you know, in a fire. Okay, here we go. Back to you, Katie.
Okay, we have When the Streetlights Go Out by Diane D, and I believe there's a SoundCloud for this as well.
Okay, Gray, before you play that, I'd like to welcome our new caller. Who are we speaking with?
Naomi.
Hello, sweetie. Welcome to the show, Naomi. Did you get to hear that song? Would you like to make a comment before we go to our next one?
No, not at all. I'm just arrived. So I don't even know the poem.
All right. Well, that's okay.
I'll go back and see.
Okay. All right. Gray, could you please play? Yes.
Okay.
When the Streetlights Go Out by Diane D. 'Twas a gray day with a sprinkle of silver, like a ship at half-mast, just sitting there. The skies brazenly scattered snowflakes, plunging thick and burly, iced hexagons, feathery, settling on my lingering tongue, blotting the fur cuffs of my red snowsuit. The smell of winter, pine, fume, and wood chipped my rosy cheeks into an ice glaze. In a town of 500, including cats and dogs, winter stomps in on rawhide snowshoes, etching the snow into snowbank benches where we would sit to lace up our skates. We showed in droves at the local ice rink, lugging snow shovels and hockey sticks, sharpened ice skates flung over the blade, the arena a perfectly shaped snow pillow. 20 to 40 kids started shoveling at one time. Within minutes, that blade of ice glistened. We would play shovel all day, going home when the street lights go out. End poem.
Oh my goodness, Diane, I love the music. I love the imagery in this poem. Your descriptions in there just made me feel as if I was there with you, you know, especially with that first line that you opened up with your poem, "'Twas a gray day with a sprinkle of silver." Oh my goodness, I just thought that was so beautiful. And then I smiled in the second stanza where you talked about the feathery settling on my lingering tongue, blotting the fur cuffs on my red snow feet, the smell of winter, pines, human wood, chipped my rosy cheeks into an icy glaze. You know, that crisp feel of the air just being so clean with the smell of fern and wood burning. Oh, my God, I love that. That's one of the things I love about wintertime. And I also like catching snowflakes on my tongue. That made me smile so much. And what did you think about the poem, Katie?
As usual, I love the way people have now got music coming in behind their poetry. I think that's absolutely lovely. It just adds another dimension, doesn't it? We're going to have them acting soon. We're going to have to sit and watch some of the play. They're getting that good. I loved it. I thought it was lovely. The settling of the feathery snow on your tongue, that's just lovely. Because you know each one is totally different. So you don't know what you're getting, but they're beautiful. And then last stanza. I'm sorry, my mouth is very dry. You'll have to bear with me. I'm so sorry, but my medication.
Oh, that's okay.
Good.
I got me a cup of soup. I got a cup of soup to keep my mouth wet.
Oh, it's really horrible, isn't it? Sorry, people. So 20 to 40 kids start shoveling at a time. Within minutes, that blade of ice glistens. We would play shovel all day, going home when the streetlights go out. That's lovely. I thought that was just a very sweet and nostalgic sounding piece of poetry. Thank you, Diane. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. Those ice hexagons. I remember I wouldn't like to touch the snowflakes because they would melt. I would like to let them sit on something cold and then go and look at the different shapes of them. And they're just, nature is just gorgeous. And what did you think about this poem, Gray?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I was mutated. But in my first comment that I put on her poem, I said, Diane D., such picture-perfect imagery and a loving memory expressed. You know, it's the story of many a Canadian, you know, growing up like this. So beautifully written and read.
Pinky Gray. And how about you, Dex?
I absolutely
love
this.
Are you muted? There you are.
I absolutely love this piece. I thought this was just fantastic. It had an entire aura to it. And there's certain things that just stand out, and what stood out to me was the entire feel of this one. And I thought that this was just fantastic.
Thank you, Dex. And how about you, Naomi?
Oh, yeah, this took me right back to my childhood. You know, we live in Canada, and Quebec is, you know, the hockey world. So, you know, that's what we did every night. We'd shovel out the skating rink because it was full of snow most nights, and then we'd start playing hockey or, you know, skating or whatever. But most of the time we'd take up those hockey sticks and play hockey. So, 20 to 40 kids shoveling side by side, just shoveling off all that snow that was gathered on the skating rink. And, you know, and then, you know, just,
wow.
You know, just the cabins where we'd sit, and the wooden cabins where we'd sit on the bench. And, you know, we wouldn't sit out in the snowbanks, but, you know, we'd sit in these cabins with the wood stove going and, you know, lace up our skates and then get out on the rink and shovel all that snow off and then just go ahead and play our hockey. So this brought me, you know, she really captured the whole atmosphere of this time here. And so bravo, Diane. So well written, so well done. Thanks for the memories.
Oh, my gosh. We have the opposite memories down here. It's us being out there with the rain bushes and the mesquite, and we would eat they're like green beans that come out, and they're purple, and they're really sweet, and you can eat them. And we'd be chasing, not shoveling snow, but chasing corny toads and lizards and running after the roadrunner. So so I guess our snow would be the desert sand. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and it's just amazing how all these different – this is what I love about poetry. It just brings back so many happy memories for all of us. And what I love about this is that we share it and share the enjoyment of the comments. So thank you guys for calling in. I really love you, and I love your comments. And we're back to Katie.
Okie dokie. We've got Clemency by Eric Svensson. And Gray, could I ask you to read this, please?
It has a SoundCloud,
I
think.
I think.
Oh, thank you.
So.
I missed that. Thank you very much.
Oh, maybe not. It's called Fire Dance in the studio, or freelance.
It says Dance. The SoundCloud. Clementine, is it? Well, could you start it off so we can see just in case?
Sure.
And if it's not, then you will just. I don't know why that came out like that.
Fire dance, yoke twin flames dance, centrifugal pull up.
Oh. That's not it. So, yes, we do need a reader. So, go ahead, Gray.
Here we go. Okay, just one second here. Oop. Okay, this is called Clementine Clemency by Eric Svensson. Clementine Clemency, segments, a sure mind, clear intention sections, filled with sound nourishment, napalm powerful, but not destructive, infiltration of darkest nooks and crannies, inner calm of a tangerine sunset, dawn quickens, cerebral synapses, dowager dusk, counterpart covers delusions, contusions, regurgitation of ravine rivulets ran, regency reign of righteousness sought, keep Clementine, orchard devoid of thistle and thorn. Moist orange skin, compressed, ignites candle flames, little flamethrowers of a clear mind, napalm. Bold orange of the sacral chakra pulsates, creative tangerine center, states life begin, life begets life. Clarity's conscious charity begets sweet blossoms. Each positive thought segments liquidizes despair into golden sunshine. End poem.
Gray, you did such a fabulous job in reading Eric's poem, and we're sorry about that, Eric, but that's what came out when we played the recording. You know, I thought this was just beautiful as it was juicy. Just looking at that just makes my mouth water. And also, this is another one, you have to excuse me, that made me smile. I love to rub the outside of the skin and get that scent on my hands and inhale it. You know, that you know, like he brings out that ignites the candle flames. You know, this could be also very luscious and succulent, talking about somebody. You know, it just, I don't know, it says the creative tantrum center states life begets life. And there's just something about when I would peel it, and then, you know, right there in the middle, you would stick your tongue in it to split the orange. And then, you know, there it goes, that the clarity of the conscious charity begets sweet blossoms. You know, the each positive thought segments liquidizes despair into golden sunrise. And they have found that the scent of oranges, if you're feeling depressed or low, just smelling the oranges or getting a tangerine essence will brighten up your day, and it really does. I love this poem by Eric. What did you think, Kay?
Oh, yes, this is beautiful, isn't it? The alliteration is absolutely wonderful. They're just so smooth. You hardly notice it until you notice it. You know what I mean? But it was beautifully done. And yeah, it creeps up on you. You go, oh, yes, all right, I've got it. Now, when you come to the end of it, you realize what you've been reading. It's beautiful. That's the way I like it, subtle and you're not in your face. But so obviously I've now become very interested in oranges. Who knew? Moist orange skin. Oh, your poor cough. Moist orange skin compressed ignites candle flames. Little flamethrowers of a clear mind napalm. Bold orange of the sacral chakra pulsates. Creative tangerine center states life begets life. Very well written and very clever. And obviously somebody who knows what they're talking about when it comes to, you know, the chakras. And I do Reiki myself, so I kind of, I'm very fond of all that kind of thing. So I like to see it coming up occasionally, yeah. So I think this was an absolutely wonderful job. And I'm going to go and get myself an orange. Thank you so much for sharing that.
How about you, Gray? Great comment, Katie.
Well, I mean, you know, he captured the essence of Clementine beautifully. inner calm of tangerine sunset, dance with dawn, quickened cerebral synapses. Dowager dusk counterpane covers delusions and confusion. Regurgitation of ravine rivulets ran. Regency reign of righteousness sought. Keep Clementine orchard devoid of thistle and thorn. I mean, I don't know how true that is, but it sounds wonderful.
Thank you, Gray. I think I'm going to have to excuse everybody. Some of us are coughing, so please excuse us. We're sorry about that. How about you, Dex? What did you think of this delicious poem? Mouthwatering.
Well, the way that you described it definitely, whatever you wanted to say, tainted my palate or whatever, turned me up a little bit, turned another notch. But I think this fantastic, right, by Eric. The inner calm of tangerine sun is just an amazing line. Dance with the dawn, quicken cerebral synapses. The whole thought of the tangerine mimicking the sun and to intertwine the two. I just thought it was stellar writing, and And like I said, and from hearing others' interpretation of it was extremely sensual. So thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Dexter. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, this is, you know, I got the sensual part out of it too, you know. But after I got over the remembering, you know, every time I had car sickness, and, you know, I had nausea, and my mom would pass me an orange because the smell of the orange would, you know, help me with the nausea. So that's not very sensual, but, you know, but, you know, but, you know, it is very powerful. Like you said, Luyu, the scent of an orange or, you know, it's or the clementine, as in this case, very, very powerful in multiple ways. I mean, me, it was to fight nausea, but, you know, a very powerful scent. And, you know, this poem is really, really well written. Kate, you know, talked about the alliteration that comes through within the lines of this poem. And, you know, just the beautiful, the imagery, you know, and everything. It's Eric in the way of writing. It's just beautiful. So amazing,
yes,
amazing.
I agree, Naomi. And we have another caller, and it's our very own Barry White, Laurent. Hi, Laurent.
Hey, good evening.
Hi,
how are you?
Hi, Laurent.
So good to have you.
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact. It was well read. This is among the shorter poems that I've seen Eric write. And in many ways, it's the most clear in terms of its intention. It's not dodging left and dodging right. It lays out a premise and continues with it clearly in three stanzas. And I'll just simply second what everyone said, especially Dexter, that amazing metaphor for the tangerine. Boy, when you bite into a tangerine, that flavor explodes in your mouth.
Mm.
It kind of forces your eyes closed, and you just smile and the juices run down your throat and just want another wedge. And, this is excellent.
I believe everybody's going to be running to the grocery store to buy some type of succulent oranges or tangerine. Oh, that was a juicy comment, Laurent. I enjoyed it. And welcome to the show. And we're back to Katie. Oh boy, she's with it tonight. Thank you.
I'm with it every night. Just some nights is a little bit later than others.
That's okay.
Okay. We're doing okay so far. Let's keep our fingers crossed. So this is Hidden Healing by Garden Delights. And Naomi, would you like to read this?
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you, my dear.
An honor to read Garden Delights.
Yeah.
Hidden Healing. I run to the forest when wounded on the battleground of human existence. In places hidden by rising mists, I have found a flood of empathy never before experienced. Its winsome song has woven itself around me, calling my name by drawing blankets of flowers to cover my frailties. When bald wounds that have no words of solace, nor a buttery coat of protection, I can continue to shelter under wide boughs of spruce whenever I'm crushed in the mill of living, arriving haggard, tattered, clothing array. I know I will leave radiant and restored. End poem.
Oh, that was a beautiful read, Naomi. Thank you so very much. And this was just a gorgeous poem. You know, there is something, at least for me, you know, we all have our different ways to heal. And there's just something about being in a quiet place where you hide and you're just experiencing, you know, to find some solace in how to deal with the different issues, like she says, when wounded on the battleground of human existence. You know, life is so very difficult with the things that we have to deal with. But when we go to these hidden places, like here, this rising myth in nature, she found flood of empathy where she never experienced before. You know, and being Irish and Native American, there's just something about nature that when I'm hurting, it calls for me to go out into the nature and to be healed by her. And I just thought this was so beautiful on how to deal with things that bother us so much, you know, that there is a place that we can go and expose ourselves without being hurt within Mother Nature. What did you think, Katie?
I agree with this premise totally. It's something that I do myself. I'm not ashamed to say I'm a tree hugger. And that's not being rude.
Me too.
I love them. It's just a lovely feeling because, okay, I know they're alive and I know they've been around for hundreds of years and I just love trees. I just think there's something magical about a forest, especially one that's not man-made, you know, one that's grown on its own and not been put together in lines and lines and lines of trees, which is kind of soulless. Although I know they need to grow them. I know they need to grow trees quickly. Because we need them, but I love the forest, the natural forest. So I really related to this. I thought it was absolutely wonderful. By drawing blankets of flowers to cover my frailties. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, yeah, just beautiful. So, yes, I loved it very much, and thank you so much for sharing that with us, Garden Delights. It was wonderful. And Naomi, your reading was wonderful.
Agreed. And what did you think, Greg?
Naomi, you did a beautiful job of reading that poem. The poem is, you know, deeply relatable. I mean, you know, it's engaging, it's endearing, and it's totally relatable. You know, I do get that restorative effect from nature when I go into it. It seems to wash the city away and allow you to just exist in peace with your surroundings. So a wonderful write and beautifully read, Naomi.
Thank you. And Dexter, what did you think?
Yeah, this was a fantastic piece, you know, and there's so much truth to this. And I thought it was from a very relatable angle, and it just felt like walking barefoot through kind of a mossy patch or something, you know. This was just a fantastic write, and it was very vivid, and I thought it was very well done.
Thank you so much. Excellent comment, Dexter. How about you, Naomi?
Oh, yeah. You know, there's something so spiritual about this whole poem. You know, I have the greater opportunity to live in the country, and, you know, we have these trails all through the woods that follow the river bend. And, you know, we have the waterfalls where I jog every morning and every time I have a chance. And, you know, to be out in nature is just like she just captured it here. You know, you just feel yourself surrounded and comforted and restored. Like she says, you know, inner energy, you know, positive energy from everything, from the nature that surrounds you. And she captured it so well, like I said. So beautiful, beautiful right here by Garden Delights, for sure.
Thank you, Naomi. And how about you, Laura?
She found a magic place with it. I can continue to shelter in the wide boughs of spruce whenever I am crushed in the middle of the living. First of all, the premise of the poem is wonderful. we find these places in nature, sometimes without being able to verbalize why they're special to us, but because the brain, very deep inside, recognizes an area. I think it has to do with the fact that we did, of course, come from nature to begin with. But especially white boughs of spruce, the smell of a conifer is so wonderful, especially in this season. And it can really be a calming. The terpenes can be very, very calming to you. Those are the sense-producing part, the resin of the spruce. So I thought she just had an absolutely wonderful look. Combination of the inner space that we love in our mind coupled with one in nature.
Thank you. Gosh, such fantastic comments. Dexter, did you get to comment?
Yes. Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, I thought I didn't miss you because Gray Eye's telling me I missed you. And I said, I don't think so because I got a little.
I got a little. I appreciate you guys.
I have my comments perfect,
so thank you.
I have a list and I have a pen and I'm making my little mark to make sure everybody comments. I didn't forget him, Gray. I shame on you. But I don't mind
Gray,
you asking me because just in case I forgot, you know. Just wanted to make sure I didn't forget anybody.
No, you have me now.
All righty. So we go ahead, Weaver, with our next poem.
The next one is A Tall Town's Tale by Michael McDermott. And Laurent, could you read that, please?
Certainly.
Thank you.
A Tall Town's Tale by Michael McDermott. Taking aerobic exercise tonight, sleepwalking up a dug-up steep while stalled a while near a disused bank. Wee Georgie I chanced to meet. Or will we restore his long gone son? And Deary's big shop is looking closed. Then he asked intently, who is this Vincent character that's now selling my old clothes? Beyond the square, above in Park Street, the Callens for some blue nun wine. Shutters down, curbside kebab deals under stalking sailboard signs. No eyes familiar, flights to the rock. Baldwin's gemstones rolled out of place, but a towering Roma still cooks and serves nostalgic chips to fill the face. Minstrel Jinx will keep things right with insightful jibes at all that's wrong. Those champs of Oriel, the lily whites, celebrate us by urging, come on the town. We buy boots, cigarettes, old breweries. New technology has now settled in. Our future dreams will overcome hostile juries, all to be uplifted in Dundalk's winsome wind. End poem.
Oh, you did such a fabulous read, Laurent. Thank you so much for reading Michael McDermott's poem. And let's get some comments. What did you think about this poem, Katie?
Really, really lovely. I'm not going to do that. Yeah, really lovely. I like the talk about Woolworths because that was one of my favorite stores when I was younger in Edinburgh. And it was just lovely to go around. So all these very nostalgic, very taking you back to a particular time. No eyes familiar, flight to the rock, Baldwin's gemstone rolled out of place, but a towering Roma still cooks and serves nostalgic chips to fill the face. That's beautiful. Really nice. So, Dunkeld, Winds and Wind. Yes, I thought it was lovely. I thought it was beautifully written. And it does. It took me back to days gone by, which I love. So thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, thank you. You know, what I liked about this was, you know, like you brought out the nostalgic imagery here. Just thinking about the Woolworths and stuff like that where my aunt used to work. They're not here anymore. And you know, in a small town, you notice every change. You notice what is no longer there when you look at a space. You know, they always built something fancy schmancy like a Walmart. You know, all these old little stores are no longer there. And if you have somebody that is new, you into the city, you know who it is.
And, you know, everybody knows everybody. It, you know, like, you know, he brings out here, you know, come on, the town. Goodbye, boots, cigarettes, old Buries. Knowledge has now settled in. You know, and that is so true. All these mom and pop places are slowly being evaporated by these huge, you know, stores and everything. And, you know, even me, even now, if I have a choice between eating and homemade food in a restaurant that is made by an old mom and pop or family, I will support them. I support them as much as I can. And it is so sad because it changes the way we live. And also, you know, just that where people would go in and get their hair cut and sit and talk or go into these little places and, you know, the mom and pop places where you know everybody and get some eggs and pancakes and a cup of coffee. You know, I do miss that. I really do. And what did you think, Gray?
Well, what a journey he takes us on in his sleepwalking. You did a beautiful read on it, Lauren. But, you know, I thought the poem was totally engaging. You know, it had excellent imagery. And, you know, it's a really endearing place to be, walking down memory lane. So just a beautiful place. Excellent write. Excellent read.
Thank you, Gray. And how about you, Dexter?
Yeah, I thought this was fantastic. And as Gray said, it was a wonderful read. You know, Mistral Jinx will keep things right. You know, when you talked about the things constantly moving, you know, and to think about the Mistral shows, they also maybe will keep things right. Maybe keep things that are moving into town of the right fashion and of the right context. And, you know, keep certain things out. But I just thought, I just had the feeling of this thing of a town that likes to shield itself from the wrong. And sometimes that is wrong itself. I just enjoyed this sport right quite a bit, and I felt it really intriguing.
Great. Thank you, Dexter. And how about you, Naomi?
Yeah, this takes me to so many places. You know, I come from small towns, whether on Prince Edward Island or, you know, down in the Gaspé, you know, where they conserved this old town vibe, you know, by keeping these shops open, these family run restaurants, these little shops. So yeah, excellent write, and then so well done. But you know, we have to fight for them, like you said, Lou. You have to encourage, you know, local local goods and buying, and you know, buying from them. And and, you know, of course they're more expensive, but sometimes they're much more quality and unique, you know.
Agreed.
And Christmas is coming, so guys, think of your local shops, you know, when you're buying your Christmas presents. And, you know, encourage them. So, yeah, excellent, excellent right here. An excellent journey takes us on. Beautifully written.
Great. And you did such a fabulous job reading this. What did you think about the poem, Laurent?
The small town, the small village is in danger these days of disappearing entirely. Our entire society, retail-wise, is becoming a homogeneous society. Everything is the same. When you have a family-owned business, they invest their lives in it. And they know the business.
Oh,
they know the people. There's a warmth. You know the greengrocer. You know the baker. You know the butcher. Candlestick maker, sorry, is gone. But, and she captures all of that. captures all of that in this look at a small town and how it's changing. Wonderfully done.
Great. Yeah, I'm listening to the conversation in the group with Amy and Stelina, how the quality, and I do agree, the quality has changed. And that was a good point that you brought out, Marat. Thank you. Okay, back to you, Katie. Our next poem.
Oh, sorry, I was mute again. We have...
That's okay.
Right. I will try not to do that. It's most annoying, I know. Bandolin was
no,
here by Bush Baby. Oh, that's good. Thank you. I wonder, Louie, would you like to read this one?
I do believe she has a recording.
Oh, has she? Oh,
and it's
going
to be the first time I've heard her voice, so I'm excited. Gray, could you please? Isn't that fantastic? It's going to be the first time I heard her voice.
Yay.
I'll play it now. Okay, here we go.
Hi all, this is Bush Baby, and this is my first time that I'm recording a poem and reading it, so please bear with me. Okay, my poem is for Bandolin, in dedication of her, and may she rest in peace. Bandolin was here. Yesterday my poems were inked, painted in time and playing their part. Most for you, whom I so cherished, the one who owned my heart. Tomorrow, my fingers grow stiff, and letters will no longer pour. My words, they ran like water, will not reflect what I adore. Today, my poems are silent, for I have nothing to say. The nice thing about nothing is it coming out the wrong way. And poems that bled on paper. My thoughts, my words, are still. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you for everyone that read this poem.
Oh, Bush Baby, it was such a delight to hear your voice for the first time. You have a voice for reading poetry, especially... It touched me when I could hear the vocals and the change in your voice and the emotions that you felt for Bandolin and, you know, prayers to Bandolin and her family and her children. I really loved this second stanza. Tomorrow my fingers grow stiff and letters will no longer pour. My words that ran like water will not reflect what I adore. You know, we become so close to each other and friends on this site when we read each poetry and share our lives. And I mean, that's what Bandolin did. And she touched so many poets and she will be deeply missed. I love this poem, Bush Baby. And I loved hearing your voice for the first time. It was such pleasure. What did you think, Katie?
I thought that was very well done. It's not easy to keep yourself in check when it's something that matters that much to you or you feel that deeply about it. So she did a beautiful job of the reading. I thought it was excellent and such a beautiful remembrance of somebody that everybody cared about. Yeah, beautiful. It touches you very deeply. So, yes, thank you so much for sharing that.
Lay down.
I hear your voice.
Feeling you ain't getting up. Lay down.
Great. Dexter, are you talking to your doggy or something?
Oh, you can hear me?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You're not muted.
All right, I'll mute right now.
That's okay. Oh, Gray Eyes, what did you think of the poem?
Yeah, she's got a wonderful reading voice, and I really enjoyed the poem. It was a beautiful tribute to a wonderful poet, so well done. Excellent read and write.
Thank you. Thank you, Gray Eyes. And Dexter, it is your turn to comment.
All right, don't lay down for this one. All right.
No, I thought that this was such a fantastic write. You know, the stanza that you commented on, and then today my poems are silent, where I have nothing to say. The nice things about nothing is it coming out of, is it coming out the wrong way? There's so much power to be said in nothing, and to be said in silence. I just loved this poem all the way through. I thought it was very stunning.
Thank you, Dexter.
I'm sorry, and I'm sorry for getting involved with the dogs. Sorry.
No, I'm over here hoping. I'm trying to be careful because my cat, his name is Buddy Blue. He keeps jumping up on the chair like, stop typing and pet me, just pet me. Don't type.
I know. Yeah, these two just keep, one sleeping and then the other one jumps up on the other one. And so I'm trying to get the other one to chill for a little bit. So.
Yeah, this is just hard. You try not to. You know, but you got your fur baby is looking at you. And Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, yeah, I thought this was really a lovely, you know, beautiful tribute to a great poet. You know, the way she finished it and poems that bled on paper, my thoughts. My words are still, her words are still now. But, you know, this is such a great homage here, you know, to a loved one that, an appreciated poet that passed away. So a beautiful, beautiful job, this lady. And, you know, great voice and amazing, amazing recording.
Agreed. And Laurent, what did you think?
The second stanza has already been referenced. Tomorrow my fingers grow stiff and letters will no longer pour. The impetus for writing, the thing that allowed her to write clear-headed, joyfully, is now gone. And all of a sudden, her thoughts, her words are still. We all say goodbye and her own personal way to poets like Vangeline who have passed on. And the effects are different with everyone. But, yeah, I can see this very, very clearly. You can't write. There's nothing there anymore. It's frightening. It happened, but the poem itself is really well done. I enjoyed the read. And here we have another person who has something of a British accent. Well, in this case, I think it's probably Australian.
Australian. But, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I see more and more and more people recording with some part of the British Empire.
Yeah, I love to hear their accents. And now we are in the second hour of Open Poetry. So, Katie, we're going to get off the list. And we're going to do some open poetry, and especially if you have an open poem in the open poetry, we'll go ahead and do that with the callers right now. So let's see. I don't know where everybody's list is at. I should have just separated it, but I didn't because I'm not really sure who's going to call in.
So I'm looking
let's
for
see, we can,
who with us. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I've got Naomi's. Naomi, I've got yours.
Okay.
Time. Just give me a moment.
Okay.
I should have thought ahead. I do apologize. But I forgot.
No, that's okay. I should have said something, but kind of like dingy today.
Yeah, but
that's
it wasn't
okay.
In the back of my head. I wasn't in the back of my head. I was aware of it. I didn't realize that the time had gone. So here we have Space Race by our own Naomi. Would you like to read this, please?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, this, I don't know why it was chosen for front page pick 24 days ago. Like, I wrote this 6 years ago for my students. And, you know, I have to tell you the most embarrassing story about this poem. I was in university, and the professor asked us to write or to compose, to get up a project about to teach students compound words. And of course, I'm English, okay, and I'm French, so I don't know all the expressions, the English expressions. So I'm there in class before the professor, and I said, well, I wanted to give to show them, compound words, and show them and see how they did with words by giving them head. And he just stared at me, and he said, "Do you know that expression, giving head?" And I'm there like
oh,
a dunce.
No.
And I'm standing there in university classroom, and everybody's smiling around me, and I'm thinking to myself, what does he mean? And I said, no, And then after I looked up the expression, giving head, oh my God.
I was so
embarrassed.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go back to class. But, so I made up this little rhyme to teach students all the ways that they could make compound words with the word head. So this is space race.
Oh, my
space
God.
Race. I flew to the moon on a purple dragon, rode over its craters in a brassy, bright wagon, blew a bubble so stupendously enormous, crept inside, became Captain Astronormous, drove headlong through a zillion stars, with mercurial speed swept by Mars, slid headfirst down the Milky Way, found a cow who wanted to play, sprang over the moon, landed on Uranus, head over heels, tumbled back to Venus, met up with an alien ready to fight with just one eye. What a horrible sight. With eight great tentacles instead of arms. He had plenty. I became alarmed, but stood and fought him face to face, sent him headless into space. Now clear that hooey from your head, because it's time for piano lessons, Mother said. So I rocketed headstrong back to Earth and left this rhyme behind for mirth. End poem.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, this was just fabulous, and it deserved a front page pick. And I really love the background story. I'm going to tell you something embarrassing. While I was at school, because I don't always speak. I speak street slang. And I went into one of the classrooms, and one of the teachers, which I did not know, was a priest. And I told him that one of the students was just being, being muy nalgón. And, and that is slang, for being lazy. Well, my friend pulled me outside. She said, do you realize what you just told that priest? And I go, no. She said, you just told him that the student had big balls. So I can understand the difference in language and the mistakes one can make, and this just made me laugh so much. This is just it's colorful, it's relatable, it's enjoyable, and I always learned the most from a teacher that made it fun to learn. If you make it fun to learn, it's something that it like spreads, and it just the students will take notice and they'll look up, and I just love this entire poem. you know, with eight great tentacles instead of arms. He had plenty. I became alarmed, but stood and fought him face to face, sent him headless into space. I mean, come on. That's just pure awesomeness, Naomi. I loved it. And what did you think, Katie?
I thought it was brilliant. That picture is that purple octopus looking at me with those eyes. That is one scary dude. What? Oh, I thought it was beautiful. Where did you get the artwork from? Was it a prompt?
No, it was. I found it later. After I put the poem on the site here, I think it was the third poem I put on this site, because it's just over six years that I've been on All Poetry.
Wow.
And I think I looked up and found that picture later.
It's perfect. It's really perfect. You're talking about embarrassing things. I don't know if I said I used to live in Malta as a child, and old fishermen, there was always old fishermen about, and we all sat around and talked, and they were always drunk. So one of these fishermen taught me this song. And it's the first two lines, which is all I can remember. My pussycat, mushtayab. My pussycat, mushtayab. But he did it with his drunken voice. And then somebody told my mother what it actually meant. When my mother found out what it actually meant, she wouldn't let me near them again.
So what does it mean? Because now you got me. You know I'm going to ask, okay? Because you know how poets are. Like, what? Tell me more about it.
I think basically we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. It was something like, my pussycat, kiss my arse. My pussycat, kiss my arse. He's a little bit rude when you're 9 years old, not when you're older, but always so funny. My mother's face was a picture. And yes, so I can see why anybody would enjoy learning about anything, about giving heads. I mean, reading about heads.
Not Wednesday yet. No, Wednesday yet, Katie.
I could not resist. That was wonderful.
That was awesome.
Naomi, it was really awesome. It's so well thought out, and I loved it so much. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you. I still remember the face on the professor's, the expression on my professor's face.
Well, you don't know, but I mean, it's just something you never forget. I will never forget. I was so embarrassed. And what did you think, Ray?
Well, you did a beautiful read on that engaging story. You know, I thought it was fantastic. You know, your childhood daydream expressed in a poem is a beautiful thing. And I really loved it. So excellent job, Naomi.
Thank you, Gray.
You bet.
How about you, Dexter? Thank you, Gray.
Yeah. This is just fantastic. I mean, it's incredible. Naomi nails it, you know. Everything about it, you know, with eight arms, tentacles instead of arms, he had plenty. I became alarmed. There's a certain amount of humor mixed in within this, which Naomi is classic for. So I rocked headstrong back earth, left rhymes behind mirth. She has a fantastic rhyme scheme, but I just love the entire totality of it, you know, and it's perfect in her rhythm. And I actually admire the fact that she has kept this style of writing for as long as she has. So very well done.
Thank you, Dexter.
Thank you, Dexter. Excellent comment. And Laurence, what did you think?
Well, I agree with you, Louie, about making learning fun. because, you know, when you can get something to stick in their head, that's why poetry is so great for teaching. Fairly easy to remember by comparison. So here we have a flight of fancy with an ulterior motive, which is excellent. You do it with laughter. You do it with interest. You do it with fancy, with fantasy. And it does exactly the job you want it to do. And on top of that, it's a very well-constructed piece. Kudos to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Doctor. I used to get my kids to rap. They used to love it. Yeah, do a rap.
Yeah, because then you want to go into your class. And that's what matters, you know, that you know, you can feel their little brains just bursting their synapses just in wanting to learn and be in your class. Thank you for being such a fabulous teacher, Naomi.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lulu.
And congratulations on your front page pick. I loved it. And back to you, Katie.
Thank you, my dear. I just want to say, Selena, thank you for that piece of information. It's obviously not as bad as I thought it was. Somebody was pulling my mother's leg as well then, because that's not what she thought it meant. So thank you for that info, my dear.
Aww.
So now we have Death March by Laurent Yvon. Laurent, would you care to read this, please?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
Darker change of pace here.
Death March?
Yeah.
Has that got a sound
close? No. I said now for a darker change of pace.
Oh, sorry. I thought I'd given you the wrong poem. Well, thank you. Okay. 2L.
Death March. One step after another in the sucking mud left by the monsoon rains. One cracked and bleeding foot follows the next. A long procession of prisoners, their staggering bodies abused, limping, falling, empty. Shot, discarded, left to die, left to lie in ditches along the edges of the long march. Thin brown fluid leaks down legs. Bottle flies land on open bleeding wounds, laying their eggs. Dirty bandages flop. Unravel and tear. No potable water to allay thirst or clean bandages. Their destination still a far remove. Another prisoner collapses and cannot rise. Executed and tumbled off the road. Yet another. Numbers are dwindling. The rainforest vegetation lining the road bears silent witness to the horrors it warms. Prawns shudder in the slight breeze, bearing death's stench and decay. Gaunt of eye, despair riddled, absent of hope, outnumbering their captors 100-1, they stumble on, defeated. End poem.
Oh my goodness, Lawrence. I really loved your pace and tone of voice while you read this poem. Could you please read your author's notes so that people will know?
The Bataan Death March was the inspiration for this story. It's one of the darker among many dark moments of World War II. I think there were primarily English prisoners who it was a horrible march. Anyone who's interested in history should read up on it.
Yeah, thank you. Let me get some comments. What did you think about this poem, Katie?
Oh, that was a terrible, terrible time. I mean, awful. The atrocities. It's impossible to forget. Well, no one should forget these things that have passed and happened, because we need to learn from our mistakes. We really do. And it seems to be that out of sight, out of mind, something's done, a couple of people are slapped on the wrist, whatever, and then it's forgotten about. And nothing should be forgotten about. Nothing that's that devastating to people should ever be forgotten about. So it makes me shudder. I don't mind the front shuddering. Makes me shudder. And it was so beautifully written and Lamont, thank you very much for that, because it the atmosphere was there and the feeling was there. Gaunt of eye, despair riddled, absent of hope. That, you know, that gives you, that is war and famine and death in one stanza by itself. That's it. It tells you everything. I thought it was beautiful, beautifully written, and a beautiful point to be made, and you made it very well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. You know, the things that happen during wartime are just the crimes committed against humanity. It's horrific. And, you know, when I volunteered at the Veteran Hospital and work with these soldiers, a lot of them just wanted to talk. They didn't. Now, you know, this helps people understand why so many soldiers, you know, they have their nightmares, why they can't discuss things that happened during the war to themselves or to those that they loved or things that they saw. Sometimes for me, even if I'm hurting or suffering, it hurts me more to watch somebody else hurt and suffer, and this torture, you know, the treatment of these, you know, American and Filipino prisoners of war. You know, you'll understand why so many soldiers can't talk about this, and the issues with the, you know, post PTSD that they suffer. And, you know, what you did here, Laurent, is that you give them a voice, so they're suffering for the things that they can't say in the silence of the night scream. And I really appreciate this. Thank you, Laurent. And what did you think, Greg?
Beautiful read, Laurent. And, I mean, the poem is horrific and tragic, but it's beautifully expressed. So you did a fantastic job retelling this story. Excellent work.
Thank you, Greg.
Dexter, what did you think?
I thought this poem was incredible, Laurent. And, you know, it was extremely dark, very telling. And you know what I like is that I am a history buff, and I liked that it brought an audience to a certain part of history. And so I really enjoyed that aspect of it. So very well done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dexter. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, this is amazing, Laurent. You know, you set the horror and, you know, of war right from those beginning stanzas, you know, one step after another in the sucking mud left by the monsoon rains, one cracked and bleeding foot follows the next. You know, this those soldiers walking there, bleeding feet, and you know, agonizing. You know, you bring out all the emotion. And like somebody said, I think it was Kate, you just make us, you know, shiver with the monstrosity of the whole situation here. You know, you can write words on paper, but to bring out emotion in the reader, that's something only a great poet can do. So just stunning, stunning writing here. Laurent.
Thank you, Naomi. Thank you. What struck me most deeply when I first read about the pretended death march is that they literally did outnumber their captors 100-1.
Mm-hmm.
They could have taken over easily, but it was their frame of mind. They were defeated despite outnumbering their captors. They could do nothing. And it just speaks, I think, to the power of a defeated mind. And what it contemplates to do and not to do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Laurent. And back to you, Katie.
Okay, my dear, we've got When a Stranger Calls by Poetic Picasso. And I think we have a SoundCloud for that. Greg, please.
You are all alone, so nervous are you, that you fasten the chains, but no, 'tis the omen is lied, and the chandelier's dimming, and the seconds become long. Terrifying minutes, a strange ticking is heard in the pendulum sways, as the sound of the clock resonates a haunting and eerie echo. Are you scared yet? Close the door, but it begins to rattle back and forth with the wind, blowing through the open window as the shutters flap. You sense them inside the house as your heart beats faster and your body shivers with the fear of being alone. That creak by each step, taken cautiously, till you sense his presence near, and you look up into the sheer darkness of the night, to find him standing there. Why haven't you checked for children?
You know, I have got to say, that was horrifying. That was a fantastic performance by Frank, knowing you're over there, you're hired to babysit the children, but yet you realize that, you know, somebody's calling you and they're threatening you. And, you know, it's just that when that happens, you start seeing shadows, you hear noises everywhere, especially where he talks about everything flapping. And then to finally call the police where they trace it. and to find out in just sheer horror. I mean, how that the person is calling within the house and making those threats. How horrifying is that? That is just horrifying. Fantastic, fantastic performance. Frank, what did you think, Katie?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, dear. That's so scary. Whoa. I just put all the lights on again. I was sitting here in a lovely dim atmosphere thinking, what a lovely evening we're having. Now every blasted light is on. The place is like a lighthouse. It was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. I loved it. That line has got to be one of the scariest. The call is coming from inside the house. Jump and take a breath. That is a scary, scary thing. That's why I don't like telephones. People can get at you with a telephone. We'll just use semaphore. It's much easier, much safer. He did a brilliant job. He scared the bejesus out of me, and I think out of quite a few people. I thought it was wonderful. It was one of his best ones ever, that scary voice. So yes, I really enjoy it. And he has to hurry back and join us again.
Yes, he does. I can just hear him laughing. Thank you, Katie. What did you think, Gray?
I thought he did an epic telling of the classical tale of the callers calling from within the house. You know, it's just haunting and deeply engaging throughout. So beautiful job.
Thank you, Gray. What did you think, Dexter?
Yeah, what a reading. I mean, it just is so Poe-esque, I guess you could say. You know, it's just an incredible piece. He totally submerges himself into the character, and it's just amazing. So very, very well done.
Thank you, Dexter. And how about you, Naomi?
Yeah, I remember this movie well, and you know that was, you know, like Kate, like yes, I think you said, Lou, that's one of the terrifying lines. You know, the call is coming from inside the house. You know, and then in the poem he says, you know, in the one of the last stanzas there, and you look up into the sheer darkness of the night to find him. Standing there,
God.
Yeah,
oh, no.
That's so creepy. So, bravo, like dark, dark poetry, like Frank can write them, you know. So, just so creepy. Wonderful job, Frank.
Thank you, Naomi. And how about you, Laurent? What did you think?
Frank knows how to trick. Frank knows how to strip the triggers that raise the hair on the back of our neck. He takes a horrifying premise and expands it and gives us the benefit of his voice. The atmospherics in this were wonderful. A true work of art in terms of scaring the crap out of
us. Yeah, everybody's going to be hearing noises tonight. Oh, my goodness. Excellent comments, everybody. Thank you, Frank. And we missed you tonight. Okay, Katie, back to you.
Okay, I have Day's Drag, a collaboration of brevity writers by Hatz. So as I've done nothing for something which seems like hours, I'll read this one because we cannot be lazy.
Okay.
Day Drags.
No.
Oh, yes, I like this one. This is good. Oh, I picked a cracker here. Okay. Get ready to catch my jaw, please, when it drops. Day drugs drag, drag day drags. Drag day's drug. Day's drag drugs. Dragging day dragged. Day's drug days. Drag drug days. Drugging drag day. Day's drag drug. Drug day days. Drag day drugs. Drug drugs day. End poem.
I love the way you wrote that, Weaver. Great eyes. What do you think?
You did a wonderful read on it, Weaver. But I liked it. You know, I mean, it's short and to the point. You know, drugs day. I mean, yeah, drugs are bad, children, so don't do drugs.
I would like to hear all of us read that really fast 5 times. You remember we used to have those tongue twisters and we'd tell you, read it fast 5 times. And I thought she did this fantastically. I really enjoyed, was it, she wrote with Jack the Rover, Hats wrote the middle, and Adam Harkop, our very own Harkop Harko, wrote the third stanza. And, you know, it, the humor in this is just fantastic. Using only the same words over and over again, and they're all bees. What did you think about the poem, Greg?
I just commented.
Oh, sorry. Dexter. I didn't mark it. Okay. Dexter, what did you think of the day drags?
Yeah, I thought this was a fantastic, right? Fantastic, like, alliteration, or just, it was such a unique poem. Dragged up, drug days, drugging day, drag day. It's just such a unique poem that it's like, but it makes so much sense. I just think that it's such a, I would say, artistic poem.
Mm-hmm.
Clever, artistic. I just think that it's such an artistic poem. It's like an artist's poem. And there are certain poems that are done for artists, and there are certain poems that are done for whoever. But I just think this is one that's done just for artists, and I just thought it was fantastic.
Agreed. Thank you, Dexter. And what did you think, Naomi?
Yeah, this is so clever. You know, how the days can drag on like drugs sometimes. And, you know, mm-hmm. drug days drag, day drag, drugs drag, drag days drug. over and over. But, you know, it's over and over, like a long, long day, or those long, long days that drag on and drag on as if you're just drugged, you know? So very, very cleverly put and amazing, you know, to come up with this. So bravo.
Agreed. And Laurent, what did you think?
I think he left.
Oh, yes. Thank you for calling and joining me. Oh, I'm sorry, Laurent. Thank you for calling. Okay, so back to you, Katie.
Okay, and I have Daffodil Field by Duke of STP Dex Bailey. Dex, would you like to read this, please?
This is Daffodil Field. Full bloom. Bursting canary, his bare feet sink gently on nature's cool, soft, provided pillow. A meadow of fragrance thriving in its place in time. Sunbeams glisten freely off of tanned, untamed curves. A heavenly spotlight as her figure performs in perfect unison with the world around her. End poem.
Oh, that was fantastic read, and I loved your imagery in here. At first, I couldn't tell what I was looking at. Oh, because it's a watercolor. Oh, man, that was in my face. And you know what? It's kind of hard to see the daffodil. Your imagery was, I enjoyed it. I loved how you brought out when we're out in nature and, you know, especially in a field
of flowers. Like, I love, I've never been in a field of daffodils, but I've been in a field of wildflowers up in Oklahoma, you know, on the Indian reservation, and, you know, and the smell of it. And you know what? I never thought about how we all look when we're bending over. Oh, the untanned curve, you know, because it doesn't get much light. A heavenly spotlight as her figure performs in perfect unison within the world around her. You know, there is a sensuality in this, but there's also that innocence of nature and watching somebody enjoy nature, and, you know, that can also be very sensual. Fantastic, Dexter. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, I thought it was wonderful. I loved it the first time I saw it. Like you, I'm thinking, lovely. Here's somebody who's putting their back into their work. I like it a lot. But that last stanza is a cracker. Sunbeams glisten freely off of tanned, untamed curves. A heavenly spotlight as her figure performs in perfect unison with the world around her. And it does. She's completely comfortable. I envy people who are comfortable in their own skin. And here we have a picture of somebody who's been painted as being particularly happy with their life and what's happening around them. So I thought it was a bright, a gleeful touch of nature and people living within nature and enjoying it. So it was beautifully done. Thank you for sharing it with us, Dex. Wonderful.
And then, Gray, what did you think? Thank you, Katie.
Yeah, you did a wonderful read on your poem, and your poem's fantastic. I mean, you know, it's visceral, it's engaging, it's intriguing, and it's a beautiful capture of the prompt. So well done.
Great. Good, great comment. Great. And how about you, Naomi?
Well, everything is in full bloom, that's for sure.
Nice one, Naomi.
That's for sure.
But, you know, and wonderful, wonderful imagery, you know, in here. And like Grace said, you really, really captured that prompt. And, you know, that last stanza that Kate recited there, just amazing, you know, off, you know, how the sun gleams off of tanned, untamed curves, you know, her curves as well as the curves of all the flowers around her, you know, how she's just integrated into that art there. You just brought that, all that out. So amazing, amazing writing here, Dex. Very, very well done, indeed.
Agreed.
Thank you, Naomi. Thank
you
all.
Back to you, Katie.
Appreciate it.
Oh, fantastic. Nice.
It was
surprise.
Wonderful, Dex. Wonderful. Right, we have Whispers of Frailty by Robert M. Now, the gentlemen have been doing a lot of the talking, and they've both just spoken. So I'm going to read this one. Why not? Because I love his stuff.
Okay,
you don't mind me reading it.
This one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, even better. Brilliant. Thank you. Why did I not notice that?
This is my recital of Am Not, a poem inspired by In This Moment.
Okay, it looks like you're reading, Katie.
No problem. As I say, I didn't think there was one. I must be coming senile. Oh, I'm not. That's good. Oh, this looks wonderful. Velvet keepers of caged emotion, waiting to impart their boon, bestowing promised frail devotion, we spiritually and physically attune. Delicate whispers softly spoken, as your lips so gently purse. Some hearts melded, others broken, as each blessing begets a curse. Those words you whispered so softly, were they meant for my ears alone? Or were you merely toying with me, with seductive shade and tone? Entranced by your hypnotic eyes, and the sway of your curved hips, you institute my heart's demise, and my internal apocalypse, whispering again into my ear while teasing with erotic motion. Your intentions are blatantly clear, but so is the smell of your lotion. I am now a slave to your whim, and you are well aware of this. Take this man, what's left of him, and seal his fate with a kiss. The spider recaptured this weary fly. Escape is to no avail. Her thrust caused me to morally die upon her intricate web of betrayal. End poem.
Oh my goodness. You did such a fantastic read of Robert's poetry. His rhyme is just perfection. I love the imagery in here. I like where he wrote, when you're attracted to somebody and you're hoping that they have those same emotions, you know, especially if both of you have had broken hearts, those words you whispered softly, were they meant for my ears alone? Or were you merely toying with me with a seductive shade and tone? And then he talks about her hypnotic eyes, and I really like this where he says, I am now a slave to your whim, and you are well aware of this. Take this man, what's left of him, and seal his fate with a kiss. You know, when you haven't been loved and you finally have that attraction towards somebody, and, you know, they know who you are and they know what you've gone through. And for that kiss, just if you just had that one kiss, you could just die. Fantastic poem, Robert. Fantastic read, Katie. What did you think, Gray?
Yeah, beautiful read, Katie. And, I mean, the poem is dark and it's engaging. Entranced by your hypnotic eyes and the sway of your curved hips, you institute my heart's demise and my eternal apocalypse. I mean, how dark and haunting is that when somebody's got that power? And then the ending with the spider recaptured this weary fly. Escape is to no avail. Her thrust caused me to morally die upon her intricate web of betrayal. I mean, just fantastic.
Great. And what did you think about the poem, Dexter? Dexter, are you still with us? Okay, Dexter has dropped. What did you think about the poem, Naomi?
Yeah, well, you know, like Robert can write, it's just another amazing, you know, dark write, but, you know, so it has a sensual sway to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. Delicate whispers, softly spoken, as your lips so gently purse. But it's dark sensuality. The spider recaptured it, this weary fly. Escape is to no avail. Her thrust caused me to morally die upon her intricate web of betrayal. You know, what a way to finish out the poem. Just amazing writing by Robert. But, you know, it's Robert, so, you know, always his writing is always amazing.
yeah, always. Agreed. Thank you, Naomi. And Katie, you read this so well. What did you think of Robert's poem?
Well, you can see I was quite eager to read it because I do think his work is exceptional. There's an awful lot of wonderful people who write wonderful things out there. But, you know, you get to know the ones that you hear more often, and I hear him more often. So it was kind of wonderful for me because it's another one of those pieces of poetry that just flow. There is no effort. I could have read that with my eyes shut. Well, no, I couldn't have read it with my eyes shut. Oh, you know what I mean? It was easy to read. Oh, am I dumb? I'm not even blonde, but I'm dumb. You know what I meant? It was easy to read because the poetry, the rhyming was so smooth, effortless, easy.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I just read. I'd never seen it before, and I read it as if I'd read it 1,000 times because it was just so right. And that is a knack, you know, that maybe he's 155 years old and he's just very good now at writing. Possibly that's it. But he's better. way beyond his years, because that really is... we're so lucky because we have so many wonderful people writing for us to sit here and just get to read and talk about. It's such a wonderful thing. And I just thought
it is.
Yes, marvelous. And I enjoyed it. And thank you very much, Robert M., for letting me share it.
Thank you. And we are ready for our next poem.
Oh, sorry. I was agreeing with you whilst I was on mute.
That's okay.
So agreeable. So She of Ptolemaic Prisms by Intimidus Rex. Is there a SoundCloud for this? Because I don't want to jump ahead.
Yeah.
I thought there was. Yeah. I thought I'd noticed one.
Great.
Watasabi true scan, dust smorch this cotcan flossed calathus. She of a scenic linguistics. Free-flowing rivery, shambord, coal, and flutterish plum bow, blindished. Hoysa, your gruti is a pharama that blooms cheeky rosettes as lingertips trace the mask alive with olive crepe unwrit. Let me score your Ptolemaic prism inside mine lids, so when I sleep, all that I know and see is you in those mirrors of my soul.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I have got to say, there's a reason why he's called Sexy Rexy. He can just take vocabulary and just spin it beautifully in a poem. I actually had to go look up the meaning of the word gorsa, which is an English translation meaning enchantress. And I just thought this was just so beautiful right here where he wrote, let me see, Goisa, your gratuity is a pharama that blooms cheeky rosettes as lingertips trace damask alive with olive crepe and lip. I mean, the way that he reads and the way that he writes, it's so dreamy. And it is seductive. It is for me. What did you think, Katie?
I heartily agree with that sentiment. By golly, that is one voice that man's got. It was just, yes. He could have read me a phone book and I would have gone, oh, that was lovely. It's such a knack. It's so, yeah, I would have just, yeah, carry on, I'm listening. Get on to G now. No, perhaps not G. the words he uses, I love people who play with vocabulary. I love people who just, you know, you don't have to stay with English. Go somewhere else, get something different and put it in there. As long as you tell me what it means, I'm happy. So I thought it was just a beautiful job, and it was delightful to hear his voice. Thank you.
Yes, it was. It was. Thank you. And what did you think, Gray?
I really liked it. I mean, his read was fantastic, but, you know, I like the knowledge and use. The knowledge of language is masterfully crafted, and I loved hearing it read on the air again. Just pure brilliance.
Agreed. Agreed. So I think we got time for one more poem.
Okay. Sorry, I did that wrong.
That's okay. Whichever one you can get up.
Yeah, I've got it now. Just came up the unexpectedly the other time. Just goes past when you're having fun. That's the problem.
Oh yeah, I can't. We're already been on here 2 hours. I can't believe it.
Nope, neither can I. That's why I didn't realize we were so close to the end. Here we have Flesh Rivers by Silent Tree, and Luyu, would you like to read this?
It would be my honor. Flesh Rivers by Silent Tree. Sable hair drapes down weary eyes. Hands trace the skin as underlines. Fingers glow of past shadows indigo. Flesh rivers bathe water cycle slow. fertile shapes grip bodies of change, each breath an inch toward the tide. Lost silences leave no place to hide. Shells whispered of the ocean flows, memories swept into the undertows, drifted languages, ripples cast aside. Impulse. You know, that was just fantastic, beautiful imagery. I liked how she painted, you know, the flesh rivers. I mean, just, and then where it says hands trace the skin is underlined, fingers glow a past shadow's indigo. That was just striking as it was beautiful. What did you think, Katie?
Ah, yes, it's another gentle piece of wonder. Just the lines, each blooming line is beautiful. Sable hair drapes down weary eyes. Fingers glow of past shadows indigo. I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was so clever, so clever. So, I said gentle, but it is. It's got this wonderful flow of it that I like so much. And memories swept into the undertows, drifted language ripples cast aside. Just lovely. And only 60 words. Isn't that just incredible?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, I enjoyed it very much.
I agree.
Three. Thank you.
And our next poet to comment is Gray Eyes.
Yeah, you know, you did a beautiful job reading it, Lee. But I like it. You know, it's romantic and it's engaging. His words paint a lovely picture of two people uniting. And it was deeply romantic and engaging throughout. So it's a fantastic poem.
Agreed, Gray. So I want to thank everybody and congratulate everybody on the Front Page Pixies. We had some contest poetry. We also had open poetry. This is what makes this show so exciting. And I want to thank my co-hosts, Katie and Gray Eyes, and I would like to thank everybody that called to read in, Dexter, Naomi, Laurent, and everybody who hung out in the group, Delina, Amy, and Pee-wee. Thank you for your support. We love you guys, and we will be back here Monday with more fabulous poetry, and we're looking forward to it. I love you guys.
Love you. Take care, my darling. Bye, Gray.
I love you too.
Good night.
Besitos a todos. Kisses, kisses.
Kisses.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Gray. Good night, my darling.
Good night.
Thank you for using Blog Radio. Dun, dun, dun.